You are now listening to A Word for Deliverance with Pastor Leonard Cochran. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. For more information, please visit our website at www.apor-noonan.org. Now, let's receive God's word from Pastor Leonard Cochran to help you be productive in every aspect of life.
An antidote for the spirit of fear. And when I speak again to you in reference to an antidote, I want you to receive this morning that it is that which corrects, removes, or deals with evil. An antidote is that which corrects, removes, or deals with evil. Because an antidote, again, is a remedy or a solution to something. It's the answer. In other words, if a person is battling the spirit of fear, there is an antidote for him or her. And it says to you this morning that even if you came to church this morning and you're being controlled by the spirit of fear, there is an antidote, that there is a solution for you, that there's an answer for you that is contained within the word of the will of God. And that antidote, again, is to trust in the Lord. Notice that the proverb writer said, for whoever trusts in the Lord shall be saved. And again, the fear that the proverb writer is dealing with is the spirit of fear. Now, we found out in the book of 2 Timothy 1:7 that the spirit of fear is not from God, because Paul told Timothy that God has not given us the spirit of fear. And so the spirit of fear did not come from God. And because God, according to the book of James, I believe is 1:17, lets us know that every good and every perfect gift comes from above or from God. See, God is too much of a awesome and wonderful God to ever give you something that's not beneficial. See, when God gives his people something, it's beneficial for their life. In other words, it's going to help them out. Even when God allows things that are seemingly negative to come into our life, he is so sovereign that he can take the bad and bring good out of it. And see, that's the reason even when you're going through trials, you should not complain or pull mouth or pout in the midst of going through trouble, because you recognize that your sovereign one is going to bring good out of the trouble, out of the misery, out of the hardship that you're going through. And of course, there are people that don't understand that. There are people that want you to get down and out about going through. There are people that actually want you to throw pity parties about what you're battling and so forth. But when you have knowledge, when you have understanding, you know that you are to count it all joy, even in the midst of trouble. And see, that's the reason some of us are quiet right now, because you've been going through some trouble, but instead of you praising God, instead of you magnifying God, instead of you bragging on God in the midst of what you have been experiencing, you have been poor mouthing. You have been talking bad against your God. I know you don't want nobody to know it because of how much you've been getting your praise on, but again, if the truth be told, some of us done learn how to come to church and praise God, yet at the same time talk about God. And see, James even said, out of the same mouth should not come blessing and curses. See, we got to get our act together. You can't be speaking that God is wonderful one minute because everything is going your way, but then when he allowed trouble to come, you talking about why me, God, and why this now, and why I got to go through this. Well, you want his blessings, don't you? Oh, you heard Minister Bridges earlier say that if you gonna reign with him, you also have to suffer with him. See, one way that God causes you to enter into battle is by allowing you to suffer. allowing you to go through things. Oh, I better pause for the calls and just tell God, Lord, I thank you for the suffering that I went through. Because can I be honest? I learned something through all of the trouble that I went through. I learned to depend on God. I learned how to trust God because of folk that walked off. I learned how to trust God when the money wasn't enough to do what I needed it to do. Then I learned that God can cause money to come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And I'm glad I learned it, because if I would not have learned that, I would still be begging for overtime. I would still be somewhere begging for a raise, begging for a bonus, acting like my job is the only way that I can get blessed. When you learn to trust God, He'll bless you from several different ways. He'll even cause your enemies to bless you. God will cause a stranger to bless you when you magnify him. Don't you get your eyes so on that job that you don't believe that God can get you paid without even having you to clock in. Oh, you better high five somebody and shout, show it right, show it right. Tell somebody God will bless you. Oh, if you're a witness, you better testify to somebody and tell him or her, God will bless you. Oh, he the one that blessed me. He the one got me looking this good. He the one got me prospering. He the one got me being productive. I wasn't able to do this on my own. God got me looking good. God got me driving good. God got me living good. God got me visiting places. God got me seeing the earth. Oh, God, I'm getting excited up here because I know from whence come my blessings. My blessing come from God. Come on, some of you got it twisted. You got that thing twisted. That's when you don't tithe. That's when you don't give. So fearful. But notice what the text said. The fear of man. Because it is not of God. Fear is of the devil. It's demonic. According to James 4 and 7, he told us to submit to God. Listen, resist the devil and he'll what? Flee. So I'm not to come into an agreement with the devil. They didn't even know. I'm not to do that. I'm not to agree with demons. You're going to always be in this. Devil is a lie. The word came saying better here, better coming. I ain't going to always be in this. You're going to always be sick. Devil is alive. By his stripes, I already been healed. I got a right to healing. You're going to forever be broke. Devil is alive. He told me to give and it shall be given. Good. Press, shaking, and running. Why am I going to agree with demons? Your house ain't going to ever get straightened out. Devil is alive. He told me I can bind up the devil. I can cast out demons. Do you know you got power to cast out troublemakers? So when it comes to the spirit of fear, we should resist. What do you mean to resist? Pastor, stand against it. Oppose it. Withstand it. Be firm in the faith. Be firm in the word. Be firm about the prophecy God gave you. And resist what? The spirit of fear. Because notice what he says here. He said the fear of man brings a snare. See, whenever you get twisted, bent out of shape about what man said, about what man is doing, you are allowing the spirit of fear to control you, child of God, and that's a bad place to be. The Bible knows what the Bible said. The fear of man brings a what? Snare. See, you don't let man control everything about you. Hold on. You don't let a man tell you what you can and cannot afford. You don't let a man tell you what you will and will not have. You don't do that. Come on, somebody. Boy, I got a quiet church this morning. You don't allow man to do that. You don't allow a doctor to tell you you'll never be healed. Not in you what? Receive it. Why? Because the fear of man brings a what? Snare. It'll keep you in what? Bondage. You know, read some of us in bondage. We fear man. Fear what man has said. Fear what man is doing. Who is man in the text? Man deals with humans, not just a male, but humans, period. Man also deal with the limited ones. Those who are limited. Why should I fear a limited being? Your doctor, no matter how wonderful he or she is, guess what? Limited. Your lawyer, no matter how much you pay him or her to get you out of trouble, they what? Limited. Someone should have shouted, amen, you've been in trouble before. And the lawyer couldn't get you out. Come on, no matter how much money you had up there, the lawyer couldn't. He was limited. She was what? Limited. But watch this. Your pastor is what? Limited. Pastor is not God, right? Pastor is what? Limited. Your spouse is what? Limited. But pastor, all I need to do is get married. No, what you need to do is wake up. That's what you need to do is wake up and come out of that fairy tale dreamland that you done fell into. Because I've been married 19 plus years and it has not solved all of my problems. Matter of fact, it brought me some problems. Come on, somebody. I'm just being real up in here. Your supervisor is what? Limited. You don't feel no supervisor. God will get rid of that supervisor and then give you the supervisor's job with a raise. Preach that thing, pastor, preach it, preach it, preach it, because there are some folk that are receiving, receiving, receiving. Man is what? Limited. That president at the bank, the one that told you it wasn't going to happen for you this year, guess what he or she is? Limited. They don't know everything. The same people that tell you can't do certain things based upon your credit, you can come back the next day and God can cause a person to give you every dime you need in cash. And you can go back to that same bank and say, I'm going to write a check for the cash money. What you told me yesterday I couldn't have, I'm now going to pay in cash for. Because see, you didn't know everything while you were talking like you did. You don't let folk just say anything to you. Is that right? And you just bob your head, you agree. No, you can't agree with some stuff. Therefore, you have to be listening when folks say certain stuff, making sure you don't agree with demons. Y'all acting like that upset some of y'all. Notice again, when it comes to the spirit of fear, its objective is to cause you to distrust God. When the spirit of fear is attacking you, hear me again, it's coming to cause you to distrust God. In other words, you have God's word, but the spirit of fear is battling you to the point to where it doesn't want you to receive God's word as being truth. Spirit of fear comes to cause you to distrust God's word. God told you he was going to work it out. But the spirit of fear tells you stuff like, it ain't no way this can be worked out. It's no hope for you. It's no use in praying, no use in giving, no use in coming to church. It is what it is. Come on. And that's how the spirit of fear comes. And if you give in to it, you're going to begin to distrust God. And listen, when you distrust God, you can actually miss out on battle. And how many here can afford to miss out on better? I can't afford to miss out on no better. I got to have everything that God want me to have. Oh, I should have got more claps than that. I got to have every blessing that God got for me. I want it. If you don't want your blessing, then tell God to pour them out on me. Cause I can handle them. I find a place to put it in. If you don't want it, I'll build something to put it in. If you don't know how to handle it, then I'll take it. If you too scared about how folk gonna look at you, I'm not afraid about how they gonna look at me. I'll take that blessing. God, give it to me. Give it to me. I know what to do with it, Lord. Give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for giving it to me. But don't miss this. The spirit of fear will try to cause you to distrust God. Listen to me. And when you find yourself in a place where you're not trusting God anymore, you have actually turned your back on the only one that cannot lie. You have actually turned your back on the one that has been better to you than anybody. How many got that testimony that God been better to you than anybody? Come on, see, listen to me. If that's really the truth, then you can't afford to distrust God. Right? Because if you do, you gonna miss what? Better. Now watch this morning. Go with me to the book of Numbers. And I want to look at some folk that allowed the spirit of fear to cause them to distrust God. They received a wonderful promise from God. They received a word in reference to better. God had better for them. And then he told them, now is the time for you to possess that better that I told you I had. And because they did not defeat the spirit of fear, because they didn't stand up against it, because they didn't oppose it, they missed out on better. And see, God got me preaching this so that some of us can repent this morning so that you don't miss out on the better that God has for you. That your family don't miss out on the better that God has for you. Are y'all with me? Now notice in Numbers, the 13th chapter, we're going to deal with the children of Israel this morning. Y'all hang in here because we're going somewhere this morning. Notice now Moses had sent out some spies, 12 spies to spy out the land of Canaan, the land that was flowing with milk and honey, the land of more than enough, the land of abundance, the land that God said that he had specifically given to his people. And so Moses picked out 12, not just ordinary men, but leaders amongst the people, heads of the tribe of Israel, sent them out to view the land. But when they got back from viewing the land, the people, the majority of them, came back with an evil report in reference to possessing what God told them they could have. I'm trying to bring you up to date. Notice verse number 30 now. And when they brought this evil report, basically telling the people that we ain't going to be able to get what God got for us. And don't y'all look at me like that, because you know folk talk like that. You know some people that come to church every Sunday, but they always tell about what they can't do. Where they can't go. What they can't achieve. What they can't have. What they can't possess. Come on, they may be sitting beside you, so you might well shout, amen, Pastor. We'll pull mouth in a minute. You can tell them, God gonna do such and such. How that gonna happen? I ain't got no money. We so poor, and then some of y'all poor mouth so bad people can visit you and you had a nerve to say out your mouth, welcome to the poor house. I went to visit folks and they said, oh, you come to see the poor people. Well, if that's what you're going to call yourself. Why would you call your house the poor house and then wonder why riches and treasures are not in your house? They're not in your house because you don't talk them in your house. You going to have what you say out of your mouth. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Keep saying you can't and you won't. I'm so broke I can't pay attention. You better watch yourself. Why am I going to say that? I never say that. Why? Because at any minute, God can change your situation in 10 seconds. In one transaction, in one handshake, you can go from having nothing to having a whole lot. One handshake. But let me deal with this. And so they done brought back this evil report. But verse 30, we're picking it up there. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they have the children of, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. Y'all with me? And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giant, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Notice you have a contradiction of beliefs. You have Caleb saying, we able. But you have the 10 saying, we are not able. We can't. They saw the same thing, but came back with a different mindset. Well, I'm preaching hard. That's when folk can hear the same word, but have a different mindset.
The same family can attend the same church, live in the same house, read the same Bible, listen to the same CDs, yet one believe they can, the other one believe they can't. One ready to move while the other is trying to pull them back. Where you going? I'm going to get what God got for me. Well, you better come here. We better talk about this thing. Babe, I know you're excited, but we need to use some common sense about this. But see, where in the Bible did God ever ordain for you to live by common sense? See, common sense is okay for your unsaved cousin, but it ain't okay for a child of God, because that ain't what God ordained for me to live by. Let me tell you, you can walk in common sense all you want to, and common sense will cause you to miss your blessings. Come on. I'm dealing with something. Now here they go. One saying, we able. Now nothing wrong with the 10 saying, we are not able if they continue to sin us. If they say, we are not able on our own. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with you saying you can't do something in and of yourself. But see, when they said we are not able, they excluded God. They acted like God wasn't with them. Oh, Lord, Pastor, you is quiet because you dealing with some folk up in here. That's how some of you talk. When you talk like God ain't with you. You talk like you all in it by yourself. You talk like if you don't make it happen, it ain't going to happen. Listen to me. There are certain things that God knows in and of ourselves. We can't do it. We don't have the strength. We don't have the power. We don't have the resources. We don't have the means. He know he got to help us. If you going to get certain stuff, God got to help you. If you going to come out of certain stuff, God has to help you. Because if you could come out on your own, why did he die? Why did he come? So here they are, the majority po-mouthing. Those of you that got an ear, you better listen to me. See, you don't ever let the majority rule when it comes to certain things. Now, we might let the majority rule on the color of the carpet. Just depending on how crazy they get. If we want to vote, we might vote on something like that. Something that really don't matter. Y'all quiet out there. But important thing, you can't just let the majority rule. Because the majority, according to the text, can be slapped wrong. And here they are saying, we do not need to go. We are not able. God said it was yours. I know what God said, but we can't do it. Not right now. Maybe 5 years from now, we be done paid off these three things. And then we can go. Then we'll go ahead and do what you want us to do, Lord. We're going to go ahead and pay all this off. And listen to me. That's all right if that's what God telling you to do. But if God telling you to go now, you have to drop everything and go now. See, what am I saying? I'm saying when it comes to many of you, you talk yourself out of your miracle. You are your own worst enemy, just like the folks in the text. But watch this. The text get even deeper. Notice in the end clause, how these folk, when the spirit of fear get on you, you're not only going to speak bad about God, but you're going to speak bad about yourself. Notice what they said to themselves. They said, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. We small. We ain't nothing. You know, they used to have a song say, I'm just a nobody. Trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Okay, you nobody. I ain't ever heard a king's seed call themselves a nobody. You will never go over to England and hear the queen's descendants calling themselves nobody. They decree they're somebody by right of their bloodline. But yet you supposed to be saved by the blood of Jesus. You supposed to be an heir and a joint heir with Christ. You supposed to rule in the earth realm. But yet you call yourself a nobody. I'm on it. I'm on it. Some of you don't need folk to talk about you. Well, why the devil gonna talk about some of y'all? He gonna stand back and say, boy, they doing a good job. Don't bother them. See, the devil, he don't even want demons to bother some of y'all. Not the way you talking about yourself. Back when we played ball, we had this thing we used to do when somebody wasn't no good and didn't have no confidence. You be playing 5-on-5. But you discerned that one, mine is so shot, you didn't even have to guard him. You didn't have to pay attention. We should yell out, he self-checked. That means the one that would guard him, come help me on this one that's really good because he self-checked. He going to do damage to himself. Oh, tap somebody say self-check. See, watch. They said we are like grasshoppers. We small. We insignificant. We don't matter. You can step on a grasshopper. If you over the age of 10 instead of a grasshopper, you know something wrong with you. All you got to do is just step on it. I mean, you ever stepped on a grasshopper? I thumped them. I have. And felt supreme confidence. Supreme confidence. They on my porch. I'm walking up like, aiming just right there. They insignificant. Watch this. God's people talking bad about themselves. Why they doing it, Pastor? Spirit of fear got them. But watch this. They have no problem talking bad about themselves, but they brag on their enemies. Some of you brag more on the devil than you do God. I knew that wasn't going to go over well. You talk more about what the devil doing than what God doing. Notice verse 28. Notice what they said now. Y'all got to hang in here. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are what? Strong. They strong. But us, we weak. But boy, they strong. Folk with the spirit of fear have no problem cheering for other people. They just can't do nothing. Folk with the spirit of fear tell you all day, go get it. Go get it. Go get it. See how quiet these preachers are. They'll get up here preaching to y'all, go conquer. But then God deal with them. Go get such and such. Lord, I ain't pastor. So pastor only one drive a nice car? Devil is a lie. Come on, pastor only one dress good? Devil is a lie. See, you can wonder shop. And while you wonder shopping, God can say, go in there and get it. That money that you had put back, take that money and get your heart desire today. Lord, I need to talk to you because, see, Lord, that money is for hard times. And let me tell you something, ain't nothing wrong with a budget. But at the same time, don't you try to put God in your budget. Because God will bust out of your budget. I said, God will bust completely out of your budget. See, this word right here tight. This word tight. You can set a budget based upon what you think, and then God can come and tell you to do something that you look and you say, Lord, that ain't in the... Lord, we have a miscalculation here. This is not down for 2015. We actually got this over in. Let me see, Lord. Lord, that's 2017. Matter of fact, the summer, June. To be direct. And it ain't the 1st of June either, Lord. It's June the 29th. Wait. No. Hold on. I better fix that thing up a little bit better. Well, Lord, actually, it's February. About the third week of February. Because we get our taxes. Some of you poor mouthed and only eat good in tax season. Only shop during tax season. You're splurged in tax season. Do you really realize I realize something even when it comes to counseling married folk that I really don't do a whole lot of counseling in February and March because people seem to have a high tolerance when they got money in their pocket. But when they get back being broke, they can't hardly deal with nothing or nobody. See, my schedule is clear during February or March when some of you need to be walking up in now, if the truth be told, and blessing me for what I said in January, for what I said back in November. You know how I know that's real? We used to be them very people. But notice how he dealt with this in verse 28. I'm about to close. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the city are strong. Dwell in the land are strong. The cities are what? Fortified. Lord, these folks smart. They not only build cities. Lord, these folks know how to fortify them cities. Lord, they built it so we can't come in. Pastor, you better deal with this thing. Folk have built certain places for you not to come in. They set up certain things so you don't come in. Mm-hmm. And when you don't get the info, when you don't get the email that you ain't supposed to come in, yet you arrive like you supposed to be there. Don't expect them to roll out the red carpet because according to us, you don't belong here. But see, God will put you up in some place that you really don't belong. But because he... Y'all gonna make me preach up in here. When I got to looking for a house, God told me you looking too low. God said, I want you looking somewhere that you love to be. And that started the driving Sundays of going up in neighborhoods where people were like, who is them? Tell your neighbor, your faith in God will take you places where folk think you don't belong. Wouldn't it be nice to drive up in something at your next family reunion that causes your kinfolk to get up off of that bench and say, who is that pulling up here? And you don't get out real arrogant. But you don't get out po-mouthing either. I mean, when I first bought my Mercedes, this is what a person came up and told me. Honest to God, true. They said, now, Pastor, well, I was an elder then. They said, what you going to drive to work? I said, I'm going to drive that Mercedes. I said, I wouldn't do that. Folks say you got something, Pastor. They get jealous of you. I wouldn't drive that car. I said, no, they need to see this. They need to see. When I pull up at that in that Mercedes back then, folk that were making $10 more an hour would come to my machine and say, man, what you doing? What you talking about? How can you drive a Mercedes and I can't afford one? I said, oh no, tell me. What you doing with your money? You know how when you work at most jobs, people just about know what everybody make. And so if you dare to venture. See. Oh God, this thing getting tight. Now, don't y'all get upset with me about what I'm finna say. But way back in the day, and even now, if you tried to go too far, people would accuse you of trying to be. Listen to me. They would say stuff, especially the black people, that if you tried to do certain things, you trying to be white. I mean, I'm just keeping it 100. Even if you tried to talk right, use correct English. Who she thinks she is? came up in the hood like we did. What if she don't want to talk like you no more, Quita? What if she recognized that ain't going to get it on the job she tried to get? See, even people you hang with can talk you from going to certain places because they don't have a dream. They try to kill dreamers. People that can't dream always want to kill a dreamer. People not only will kill you for what you have, they'll kill you for what you're dreaming about having. Some of us done experience, you told somebody what you wanted, and they killed it. Didn't have no problem bragging on them sinners. Can we keep this contextual real quick? And because I'm finna upset some of you religious demons. What God had in the text for Israel was land. Tell your neighbor, I don't care how you cut it. Land is material. Ain't nothing spiritual about land, just land. Good piece of land. See, the same yesterday, day, and forever. What if God had a house for you that sat on 40 acres? 40 acres. Don't come with no mule, but 40 acres. You can buy the mule yourself. 40, if you got 40 acres, you ought to be able to afford several mules. Poor mouthing folk. And we still want our mule and acre. Well, you can get more than an acre. You can get more than one mule. You can get more than one house. You can have more than one car. You can have more than one bank account. Is it right? But see, the spirit of fear got on the majority, listen carefully, and transferred it to the congregation. Tell them, watch who you hang with. Look at Deuteronomy 20 real quick. Y'all give me about 8 minutes and I'll close. Look at Deuteronomy 20. This word hidden some folk. Deuteronomy 20. See, again, as you turn to Deuteronomy 20, just shout, watch who you hang with. Can y'all shout a little bit loud? Say, watch who you hang with. Somebody shout, warning. Watch who you hang with. Say, warning. Watch who you talk to. Shout, warning. Watch who you listen to. See, there are certain things, if you're going to look at it, in all honesty, you don't need to take certain people. Some of us done drove up the thing with the devil in our car. Not the actual devil, but a demon. And you pull up there smiling. That's it right there, that one over there. That one with 5 garages. You got to be crazy. Y'all. Ain't no way. Ain't no way. The light bill going to be. Y'all can't even pay that light bill. Where y'all going to put furniture? I mean, we first moved in our house and had somebody to come over and do some work in the house. And they walked through the house. And they stopped them. And they said, why these rooms ain't got no furniture in them? I said, because we ain't bought it yet. Hold on. I said, man, this house so big. I said, we didn't have furniture from where we moved to put in this house. You can't move from 1,500 square feet to 5,500 and think that furniture you had in the 1,500 square feet going to fill up this 55. Come on, I'm just talking right. I didn't have nothing to go in the jacuzzi room. Why? I didn't have one at the old house. I didn't have no sunroom furniture. I didn't have no sunroom at the old house. I didn't have no 2 cars to pull in the garage. I didn't have a 2-car garage. And I told the person, I said, we're going to get it. I said, but my wife, she want what she want. And we ain't going to put nothing in there unless it's what she want. He came back months later, though he didn't say that. And I know he peeped it now, because every room will feel. Every room will feel. See, sometimes God will take you to a place where you got to wait for him to add more. God will take you from your little closet just You know how some of us, well, I'm trying to get to my clothes. You know how some of us, well, we didn't have, but like some of you, bro, you didn't have about one or two suits. Come on, you remember them days, your wife, she didn't have that much. Because of this woman takes over every closet in the house. See, the next thing that I got to do is I got to use a room. And I got to turn a room into a closet. Well, I'm preaching right. God will give you so much stuff. Boy, I'm making these religious demons mad up here. They frowning. I'm going to put a muzzle on you. I'm going to put a muzzle on you with this word while you growling at me. God will overflow you. I said God will overflow you. Well, I got y'all. Deuteronomy 20. Check out verse 8. And then I'm going to bring it to a close. Deuteronomy 20 and 8. Now this was a rule or a principle in Israel. That when they got ready to go to war. Notice what Deuteronomy 20 and 8 said. The officer shall speak further to the people. They about ready to go to war. And say, what man is there who is fearful and faint hearted? Let him go and return to his house. We don't want you to go to war. Lest the heart of his brethren faint like his heart. The last thing you want to do is be marching in the war, standing beside a joker that's talking about, man, you know, we ain't going to ever see this land no more. When we go here, we dead. It ain't no way we going to win this battle. Who want to go in the war with somebody talking like that? Man, you, come on. What are real men at up in here? You're going to tell that wimp to go back home where we left the women. Because see, back then, women couldn't fight. It was an honor for men to fight for women. I ain't going to deal with that. I ain't going to, boy, you upset. He said, we're going to be on that battlefield. We just like y'all. Wait, come on. We were fighting for your honor. that's real deal. But here's the thing. What folks say to you can affect you. You know the old saying, sticks and stones will break my bone, but words will never hurt. Words can destroy you. What people say to you can get in you and affect you in a destructive way. Let me get ready to close this thing. But tell your neighbor, remember Caleb. Tell your neighbor, he was of the bunch that said we well able. Tell your neighbor, Caleb saw the same thing that them 10 saw. But tell your neighbor, he had a different spirit. Tell your neighbor, Caleb had a weak hand spirit. Tell your neighbor, if I'm going to hang with somebody, I want to hang with somebody that's got a weak hand spirit. Can I preach it for a few seconds? Jump on your feet and go to somebody and say, I'll hang with you. But you got to have a weak hand spirit. Go to somebody else and tell them we can fellowship. But you got to have a weak hand spirit. We can be tight. But you got to have a we can do it spirit. We can kick it sometimes. But you got to have a we can do it spirit. Tell somebody it's all right for us to be close. But I got to know your spirit. Tell your neighbor, if we're going to be tight, you got to have the right spirit. Tell your neighbor, because in a season of better, I can't hang with no cowards. Tell your neighbor, I got to hang with folk that's going somewhere. Tell, ask your neighbor, are you headed somewhere? Do you believe that better is here? If you believe it, then we can hook up in prayer. We can hook up and get what God has. But I can't hang with no chicken birds. I can't hang with the birds on the ground. can't hang with people that's satisfied just eating leftovers. I know God got better for me, and I got to hang with the eagles. I got to hang with folk that want to go high. I got to associate with people that know how to soar above trouble. I got to hang with somebody that when I'm going through, they'll encourage me. I got to hang with somebody that when I'm feeling down, they'll tell me, get up, get ready, go get it. Got to be with somebody that's telling me it's yours. This is the year of victory. Run to three people and say, this is your year of victory. This is it. You better move out of that seat, and you better find you somebody that's got a spirit like you got. You better find you a Caleb. You better find you somebody that ain't gonna give up. Find somebody that ain't gonna quit until they driving it. Ain't gonna quit till they got the keys to it. Ain't gonna quit until healing done manifested. Ain't gonna stop believing until I'm dead free. I gotta watch who I hang. Can I tell you how it ended? It was some 40 years later. Israel finally conquered the land of Canaan. In Joshua 14, when they came into the city, see what God did for them doubters, the one that had the spirit of fear, he let them die in the wilderness. But Caleb came into the land, 85 years old. Caleb wasn't talking about retiring. You know what Caleb said at 85? He told Joshua, he said, you got to give me what Moses promised me. I picked out a piece of land that I wanted, and it's mine. Joshua said, it's so done, Caleb. Go get your land. At 85, hold on, he told Joshua, he said, I'm still strong. 85. Some of you get 60 and 50, talk about retiring, quitting stuff, too old to do. Caleb, 85. Come on, I still got it. Still can do what these young folk do. I'm close. 85. Still didn't give room to the spirit of fear. An 85-year-old man talking about going up in the mountains. I'm closing. But in Joshua 14, if you read the latter clause, the land of Hebron, which they named it, was originally named after one of the giants who they considered to be the greatest warrior that ever lived. That's the man, them the folk, that Caleb went up in the mountains and ran out at 85. Why? Because he didn't allow the spirit of fear to dominate him. But y'all listen to me this morning. Tell your neighbor, pastor done preached a good word. Tell your neighbor, at 85. Caleb had the antidote for the spirit of fear. And tell you, neighbor, he went up in the mountains and got what belonged to him. Tell you, neighbor, I just want to know from you, do you have the antidote for the spirit of fear? And will you go get what God has for you? If it be true, look back at me and shout real loud, yes. And I'm done.